Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
Every so often, something happens in our life that we realize that this thing that has taken place was something that not only had we not expected, but it was something that in our hearts and our minds we wonder how it could have ever happened. It may be a positive thing or it could be a negative thing in our life. But when it gets, when all is said and done, there comes a moment in our life where we think, God, without you, I could not have made it. God, without your hand upon me, I would have fallen, I would have given up, I would have quit. God, if it hadn't been for you, this thing that has taken place that is so precious in my life would never have happened. And we have to admit it's a God thing. It's something that only God could do, that only God could accomplish, and it's something that without His presence and without His help, we know it could not have been done. I want to show you today how that God being at work in your heart and in your life, how that He wants to make everything that happens to you a God thing. He wants to bind Satan from your life. He wants to bind Satan from the church. He wants everything that takes place to be a God thing. And I want you to know that if you are willing to follow the commands of Jesus, and if you're willing to trust Him, and you're willing to lay your life in His hands, and just do three simple but very important things in your life, that you can live a life where you, from day to day to day, will see and understand that your life is a God thing. It really is. Now, we may not understand all that takes place in our life. I surely don't. I have made plans in my life, and they didn't come true. I have made plans in my life of what I wanted to do and lay out all these things, and God had something else in plan for me. And most every one of you can probably say the same thing. God is at work. God is doing His work. And God is using you in His work. It's a God thing. Now, when you look at our text today, you find really something that's very interesting. It's toward the end of Jesus' ministry before He gets to the cross. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they are already doing everything they can in opposition to Jesus to try to tear Jesus down, to try to cause the people to stop following Jesus. They want the people to follow them instead. They start in earlier parts of this chapter. They start by questioning the authority of Jesus. They want to know through whom He is speaking. And Jesus asked them a question in which they know that either way they answer, it's going to bring conviction upon their hearts. So they just simply say, we don't know the answer. Jesus then goes on to tell three parables, and in the book of Matthew, if you're coming on Wednesday night, you find that a lot of Jesus' teaching are surrounded by events, and then He gives a series of parables. He does that here. He gives three parables. We won't go into those this morning. But in giving those three parables, the people are amazed. And the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they decide that if we're going to get Jesus, then we've got to trap him. We've got to trap him in his words. They had felt trapped by the question that Jesus had asked them about John the Baptist. And so here in the closing parts of the 22nd chapter of Matthew, and beginning in verse 36, they asked him a question. They gotten together, and they said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, you've heard these commandments all of your life. You have probably quoted them in Vacation Bible School or in some other venue of worship. But here is what Jesus is saying to these scribes and Pharisees. He's saying to them, if you really want to be a part of a God thing, if you want to have more than just ritual and religion, if you want more than just coming and going through the motions, if you want a real relationship with God, if you want your life to be a God thing, here's what you need to do. Here's the commandments that you need to follow. You need to follow the great commandment, which is simply to love others, or to love God. You're to love God in your life. In fact, he gives us three things here. Let me go ahead and give them to you, and then we'll get to the points, back to the points. We're to love God above all. We're to love others and serve others. And then third, we are to share our story, okay? We're to love God, we're to serve others, we're to share our story. And Jesus gives that here in the text. He reminds us that if we are to be people through whom God is working, and that our life is a God thing, where people can see God at work in our lives, it begins by us having a priority of a love for God in our lives. Now, you've heard that all your life. It's a very simple precept. And yet it's something that we seem to have a very difficult time following in our life. The love of God must be the priority of your life. You have got to learn to love God more than anything else in life. St. Francis of Assisi, back in the Middle Ages, he was asked how he was able to accomplish so many things in his life. Here's what he said. "This may be why. The Lord looked down from heaven and said, 'Where can I find the weakest, littlest man on earth? And yet a man who loves me supremely.' And then God saw me and said, 'I found him, the weakest, littlest man on earth, but one who loves God.' And God said, 'I found him, I will work through him, and he won't be proud of it. He'll see that I am only using him because of his insignificance and his genuine love.'" Here's what Francis of Assisi was saying. If we're going to love God more than anything else in the world, it will be shown through our humility, through our insignificance of self, and through our simple, unreserved, self-motivated love for God. That we will love Him more than anything else in this world. Now, people, I want you to look around in your heart and in your life. Who has a priority in your life? What has a priority in your life? Who do you love more than anything else? What do you love more than anything else? Now, you know what the pat answer is. You know what we ought to say. You know that we ought to say, I love God more than anything in this world. But is it true? And is it real in your life? When that boyfriend breaks up with you, you thought you loved him more than anything. When that husband or that wife is taken away suddenly, or even after a long illness, and you thought, well, I had loved them more than anything. When that newborn baby is born, and you hold that baby for the first time, and you think, I can't love anybody, anything more than that newborn baby, my own flesh and blood. Let me tell you, God says that we are to love Him before anything else. Let me give you a personal experience of that. I haven't really shared this, I don't guess, with my own family. But when I was pastoring in Vidalia, Georgia, this was back in the late 70s and early 80s, to tell you how old I am. But when I was pastoring there, I can still remember, and it is vividly as if it was yesterday. I was sitting in my living room, in our living room at home, there, and I was praying and I was seeking God and I was asking God about what He was wanting to do in my life, because I was being called and led by other churches to possibly go to there as a pastor. And I was praying and asking God about that. And in the midst of that, the Lord reminded me of Abraham and Isaac. You remember where Abraham offered Isaac on the altar? And God asked me, and it's very vivid, very real, would you give up your son? Would you give up your daughter? And I have to be honest with you. When I first began to think about that and pray about that and ask God, I begged God, God, I don't think I could do that. There came a point in that living room on my knees where I broke down before God and I said to God, God, yes, I love you more than I even love my children and my flesh and blood. And yes, Lord, I love you more. And even if it means giving up my children, I love you. It's at that moment that God began to work in a new way in my life. Now, there are times, I'll be honest with you, there are times when I let old self get in the way. There are times when my grandkids come up and they hug me and they holler Papa. And when my grandson a week or two told me how I was his favorite because I bought him some Legos. You know, there are times when it's easy for us to wonder and to think, boy, I love this child so much. But what Jesus said, we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. He is to be the love of our life. If you want to be a person where every day in your life is a God thing, make the decision, make the commitment to love God first. And for Him to have priority over your life, have priority over your family, have priority over your possessions, have priority over every aspect of who you are. Be like St. Francis of Assisi in this way. That you humble yourself and see your own insignificance. And you see the glory of our God. And you choose to love Him above all. Because let me tell you something. All this talk about falling in love, it don't happen. You make a choice to love. You make a commitment to love. I'm telling you, make the commitment in your life that you're going to love God first. Follow the great commandment. That's number one in your outline. Number two, fulfill the great commitment. Notice that Jesus goes on to say, not only to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, but He goes on to say the second is likened to it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. Now here He's talking literally about having a serving heart. He's talking about placing others before yourself. He's talking about having that attitude and that spirit where you are giving yourself away in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you just straight up. You're not going to have a serving, giving heart until you first love God above all. You're not going to be willing to sacrifice until God is the love of your life. As long as this self is in the place or priority in your life, you are not going to have an attitude and a heart that to give yourself away, because you're going to be thinking of self. You're going to be wondering what you are going to get out of this. You're going to be wondering, what am I going to get? Rather than what God is doing. And let me tell you, as a church, we need to be real careful that as we are reaching out to serve this people and that God has placed around us, as we are trying to minister and reach out and allow God to do what God wants to do, we had better be real careful that we don't begin to look at self and say, what's in it for me? We better be real careful that we don't stand and say, what is it going to do for me and what is it going to do for our church? It's not about our church. It's about Jesus. It's about what God wants to do in this place. And I'm here to tell you, God wants to do things in this place, and God will do things in this place. God is doing things in this place. That all of us working as hard as we can in our own strength, in our own ability, we will never accomplish. God is doing it. It's a God thing. What we've got to have is a giving heart. A heart that says, I will sacrifice. I will do without. If we have to sit in a room without air conditioning or without heat, we'll do it. If we have to sweat a little bit, let's go sweat. But let's do the God thing as God works in and through our lives. If it costs us, if we have to give up everything in this world, let's do a God thing. Let's allow God to work through us and accomplish what He wants to do. Now, in saying that, and having a giving heart, if you really have a heart that reaches out to others instead of drawing to yourself, you will be willing to pay whatever price is required. And you'll follow the example. Because literally the Greek text, when it says, when Jesus was saying, love your neighbor as yourself, literally, the Greek text is saying you have to place God first. That's the first commandment. But then you are to place others ahead of yourself. And in the context of what Jesus was saying, He was saying to these scribes, these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, these experts in the law, He was saying to them, listen, you have got to get self out of the way so that God can do His thing. Because as long as we're doing it with self and in the forefront of our lives, we're going to be thinking, here's what I'm doing. But when we realize it's not us, but it's Jesus, then it becomes a God thing. And God gets the glory. God receives the praise. And souls are saved. Which leads us to the third point. Finish the Great Commission. Tell your story. All of us has a story if you know Jesus Christ. All of us can share what Jesus has done in our life. The change that He has wrought in us. If He's changed our life. Every one of us has a different story. Get this. Every one of us has a different story. How God changed your heart and changed your heart and changed your heart is different from my story. But it's all with the same message. It's all with the same message that Jesus Christ, through the cross, through the atonement of sin, through His shedding of blood, through the resurrection, He has taken us from the death and the doom of sin and brought us into life and forgiveness and salvation. We all have a story to tell. Jesus saves. Jesus has changed our life. Jesus has forgiven our sins. Jesus has made us whole. Jesus has given us eternal life. Jesus has enabled us to make heaven and miss hell. Jesus has sustained us through this day. Jesus has lifted us up in the hardship of our life. Jesus has comforted us in the bereavement. God, Jesus has given us and poured out His love upon us. Jesus is all about Him. The story, listen to me, is what Jesus has done in your life. And the message is the same. The message is Jesus. Now, having said that, let me pull it together for you. You're not going to share your story of what Jesus has done in your life unless you have fallen in love with Jesus who loves you so. You're not going to have a heart to share your story of what Jesus has done in your life until you experience Jesus. And He takes away the selfishness of your heart and puts Himself in this place so that you love Jesus and you're serving Jesus while you're serving others. Share your story. You see, you have the greatest story that can possibly ever be told, and it's happened to you. Share your story. There's neighbors who live next door. There's schoolmates who will be in classes with you within the next month. There are co-workers that you work with every day. There are waitresses and waiters that many of you are going to encounter when you leave this place and go to the restaurant in a few minutes. There are people that you will meet every day of your life that will cross your path that need to hear your story. Because they need to hear Jesus. They need to see Jesus. They need to meet Jesus. They need to receive Jesus into their heart, into their life. You have a story to tell. And your story, get this, your story is not insignificant. Your story is not unimportant. Your story is a God thing. Your story is what God has done in your life and what God is going to do in somebody else's life because of the story that you tell of what Jesus has done for you. It's a God thing. And some of you may be thinking, well, God has never done anything really magnificent in my life. Yes, He has. When He saved you, when He uses you to tell your story of Him, it's a God thing. When His Spirit floods this room, it's a God thing. When His Spirit convicts your heart, it's a God thing. When you become restless in your soul because you know that God is working and God is wanting to do something in your life, it's a God thing. When you have the opportunity to come to this altar and get right with God, it's a God thing. God is at work all around us, in and through us. God is doing His thing. And the only thing that's hindering God doing His thing in you is you. Because God's not going to force you. God's not going to make you love Him. You've got to choose that. It's a God thing. And for me, I don't want to live my life for Jim Headley. I don't want to live my life for my family. I don't want to live my life for church. I want to live my life for God. And let me tell you a little secret I've learned over the years. When you live your life for God, and you love God first in your life, everything else falls into place. You'll love your church more when you love God first. And oh, how I love this church. You'll love your family more when you love God first. And oh, how I love my family. You'll love the lost people more. You'll love the community around you more when you love God first. And He'll put a passion in your heart, a passion on your life, that your very breath, your very life is to love God and to love others as God loves through you. That's what God has called you for as His child. That's why you take the name Christian. That's why you're here today. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. Will you make that choice today? Whether it's coming for salvation, whether it's coming as a child of God and coming to this altar and just pouring your heart out to God, saying, God, I choose to love You more than anything. Would you make that choice today? That's your commitment. That's what God's calling of you. So as we stand together, and as we sing, You step out. The altar is open. I'm here to pray with you. You make your decision for the Lord today.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc-tuscaloosa.com. Have a great day, and God bless.